Okay. Waterfowl are in the order Anseriformes in the family Anatidae. North American waterfowl fall into two subfamilies within the Anatidae. They're the Ancyrinae and the Anatinae. Within the Ancyrinae, we have three tribes, the Dendrocygnini, which are the whistling or tree ducks. You guys don't need to know them, and I'm not going to cover them. The tribe Cygnini, which are the swans. These guys are not required. I was going to cover them, so you'll find some slides in your handout, but we went ahead and deleted those in the interest of time. So we'll skip right to the tribe Ancyrinae, or the true geese. Okay, so our first...
just one announcement is that when she gets the dabbling ducks, she's going to show you drakes and hens. You just need to know the drakes for your test.
Okay, and geese, of course, are all monomorphic, meaning that the sexes look alike, so you can't sex them just based on a picture. So the first species is the white-fronted goose, Anser albifrons. This is a medium-sized, long-necked goose with mostly gray-brown plumage, and it's called a white-fronted goose because it has a white patch at the base of its pink or orange bill. These guys have irregular black flecking on the belly and orange legs and feet. Okay, distribution. You can't actually see these guys in Tennessee. They'll migrate through pretty commonly in West Tennessee. Okay, our second goose species is the snow goose. It's a medium-sized goose with a pink, it has a pink bill with a black patch along the mandibles. This is sometimes referred to as a grinning patch because it kind of looks, it's shaped like a, you know, grinning mouth. These guys come in two colors, the blue morph and the white morph. The blue morph is, of course, on the left there. It's got a white throat, white-edged scapulars. And the white morph has entirely white plumage with very dark black primaries that are most easily visible in flight. Okay. These guys winter and migrate through Tennessee. Okay, this is a tough one, the Canada goose, Frantic canadensis. It's a medium to large, long-necked goose. It's got a black bill, head and neck, and a white throat patch that extends up the up to its cheek. Gray-brown back, upper wing, and flanks. And there are actually seven subspecies of Canada goose recognized in the U.S. The best field character to tell them apart is going to be size. You guys don't have to know anything about the subspecies, but I figured it's good to mention. And another thing that you don't need to know, but is interesting, is that the Canada goose was recently split into two species, the cackling and the Canada goose. So this is Branta hutchinsi. It's a smaller version of the Canada goose. The smallest cackling goose, the Aleutian cackling goose, is about one quarter the size of the largest Canada goose, the giant Canada subspecies. But externally, they look exactly like Canada geese. And there are four subspecies of cackling goose currently recognized. Showing the ranges here, cackling geese are found primarily out west, and they breed more northern, in more northern areas than Canada geese. Okay, well, I'm gonna rip right through this. The second subfamily is the Anatinae. There are five tribes within the Anatinae: the perching ducks, Carinini, the dabblers, Anatini, divers, Athiini, sea ducks, Mergini, and the stiff-tailed ducks, Oxyurini. Okay, our perching duck that's found in Tennessee is the wood duck, Aix sponsa. Drakes are characterized by red bills, red eyes, green heads, white throats with vertical white cheek stripes, chestnut breasts, and golden flanks. Hens are characterized by their gray bill, the white teardrop around their eye, and white secondaries. Females also have a white throat, although they lack the vertical white cheek stripe. And overall, female wood ducks are gray-brown, so they have a gray-brown head and body. The wood duck is one of the two waterfowl species that breeds in Tennessee, along with hooded mergansers, so they're present in Tennessee year-round. Okay, moving on to dabblers. Our first species is the mallard. Drakes have green heads, yellow bills. They've got a white ring around their neck, chestnut breast, and a gray belly and gray flanks. Hen mallards, much more drab overall. They've got an orange bill with a black central patch, a dark cap, and a dark eye line. Overall, the plumage is mottled brown and tan. And a really important distinguishing character for mallards is this white edge to their speculum. It becomes very important when you're trying to differentiate a hen mallard from an American black duck, because they're very closely related and they're very similar.
What about a
mottled duck? Ooh, that's a don't occur in Tennessee. Mottled ducks, the bill is different, isn't it? Drew, do you know the answer?
Yeah, and the actual head is different. It looks a different color. I think the mottled duck may have a lighter colored head, but they're further south, of course, in Florida in that area. But they're really close. Mottled duck and black duck, unless they're in full breeding plumage, a lot of times they're pretty close to the color.
Okay, mallards winter in Tennessee. Okay, the next species is the American black duck, Anis rubripes. These guys are forest ducks. They're actually a little bit of a conservation concern nowadays with the loss of forest coverage. Their numbers are decreasing and they're hybridizing with mallards quite a bit. So they're a species that's in a little bit of decline. Both drake and hen American black ducks have dark brown heads and bodies. Again, they have a dark blue speculum that is not bordered by white. And the way that you can tell the sexes apart most easily is by looking at the bill. Drakes have a greenish yellow bill, whereas hens have a green bill with a black saddle. So a little bit darker bill overall. And the legs as well. Drakes have bright red legs, whereas hens have kind of more drab orange legs. And these guys are a more easterly species. They winter here in Tennessee. The American green-winged teal, Anis crica carolinensis, is the fastest duck in North America and a very small-bodied duck at only 10.5 inches body length and 24-inch wingspan. Both males and females have a green speculum. And the drake, of course, has this nice rust-colored head with a green postocular patch, whereas the hen has a light brown head and body. Drake has a nice dark black bill. Hen has a dark gray bill. And they winter in Tennessee. Blue-winged teal is another small-bodied duck. It's got a green speculum, but it's named for the blue in its lesser and middle coverts. Drakes have kind of a blue iridescent head with this very conspicuous white crescent patch in front of the eye. And these guys have buff breasts and flanks that are kind of spotted in appearance. Hens are overall pretty brown, light brown head, dark brown crown, mottled gray-brown body. So, brown duck. These guys migrate through Tennessee. They're one of, the earliest migrants, too. You'll see them a lot earlier in the fall. Gadwall, Anis drapara. It's an average-sized duck with a steep forehead. They are the only dabbler that has a white speculum, and they have a real dark black rump. Just overall, a very gray duck. You see them out there. Drakes have a dark black bill, whereas hens have a lighter gray bill with orange edges. And these guys winter in Tennessee, West Tennessee. The American Wigeon, Anas Americana, has a blue bill with a black nail or a black tip. White secondary coverts that are a little bit gray in females. Drakes have this really conspicuous white crown, and similar to the green-winged teal, a white postocular stripe. And they have rusty breasts and flanks. Hens have a mottled body with rusty flanks, and this contrasts with their head and neck. I guess there's kind of a little line right there. The head's a little bit lighter. And they have a dusky eye patch, similar to that green postocular stripe in the males. American Wigeon both migrate through in winter in Tennessee. Okay, next is the Northern Pintail, Anas acuta. These guys have a dull blue bill with a black culmen stripe, dorsal culmen stripe. They are a very sleek duck with a very long neck, small head, and attenuated retroces, which is, I guess, a fancy way of saying pintail. Drakes have a dark brown head, very bright white chest, this bright white vertical stripe extending up the neck. Hens are basically tan, brown colored overall, lightly mottled body, and they have a brown speculum. Okay, these guys also migrate in winter to an extent in Tennessee. And our last dabbler is the Northern Shoveler, so named for their spatulate bill. Drakes have a real dark black bill, whereas the hens have an oranger bill that's a little bit mottled. Drakes have green heads with yellow eyes, whereas the hens have tan heads and brown eyes. Drakes have a bright white chest and chestnut sides, and hens are kind of mottled brown overall. And this, the Northern Shoveler is a very territorial breeder. So again, migrate through and winter a little bit in West Tennessee. Hey, our first diver is the Canvasback, Aethia bellicinaria. This is one of the fastest ducks. It can fly at more than 100 kilometers per hour. It's got a long sloping forehead with a peaked crown. The shape of its forehead is going to be really important to tell the difference between a canvasback and a redhead because the coloration is very similar, which the redhead's the next species that we'll look at. These guys have black bills, both in the male and female. Drakes have bright red eyes and red head and neck, whereas hens have brown eyes, heads, and necks. Drakes have dark black chests and breasts, and those are more brown in the female. And drakes have pale gray sides, backs, and flanks, as do the hens. These guys migrate in winter in Tennessee. And as I mentioned, the next species, the redhead, has a smoothly rounded head, which is a stark contrast from that really flat profile in the canvasback. They've got kind of darker wings and grayish secondaries. Drakes have red heads and necks with yellow eyes, which is in contrast to the canvasback has a red eye. Hens, similar to the canvasback, have brown eyes, heads, and necks. Drake redheads have blue bills with a white ring right before the black tip, and this is also seen in the female, but it's much more faint. Because migrate in winter, Tennessee. The ringneck duck, Aethia collaris. These guys are for really impossible to see in the field ring around their neck of darker brown on the black head. It's pretty obvious when you have them in hand, but not from a distance. These guys have bills that are that have a white semi-terminal ring. And they have a white or cream-colored in the female ring at the base of the bill, so where the bill sets onto the head. Drakes have a kind of purplish head and neck with a yellow eye. Hens have a brown eye, head and neck. Drakes have gray flanks with a vertical white finger near the black crest. Hens have a faint white eye ring. And this vertical finger can be helpful if you're trying to distinguish ring-necked ducks from scop at a distance because they're both kind of black and white waterfowl. So that's this kind of curved shape going up there. These guys migrate in winter in Tennessee. Okay, two scop species are exceedingly difficult to tell apart in the field. The lesser and greater scop, Aethia finnis and Aethia marilla. Lesser scop are said to have more purplish heads, whereas greater scop have more greenish heads. That's a very difficult character to use in practice. A better character is that the white on the wing of the lesser scop is restricted to the speculum, whereas the white on the speculum extends all the way to the primaries in the greater scop. I don't know how well you guys can see that, but there's definitely gray coming in here on the lesser scop, and it's pure bright white for the greater scop. Size will do it. To an extent, the lesser scop are so named because they're a little bit smaller. And I think the easiest way for me to tell them apart is based on the shape of the head. The lesser scop is kind of got an egg head going on, a little bit pointed, whereas the greater scop has a much flatter head. Distribution will also help to an extent. Lesser scop are transcontinental, whereas greater scop are found primarily in coastal areas, but they both migrate through Tennessee. Okay, moving on to the sea ducks. The common goldeneye, Bucephala clangula, has a very short, stubby bill. It rides real low in the water. Drakes have a kind of greenish head and neck with a yellow eye, whereas hens have a reddish brown head. The common goldeneye has a white circular cheek patch, and that shape is important for distinguishing it from the Barrow's goldeneye, which we'll look at next. In the hen, the terminus of the bill is lighter than the rest of the bill. And the drake common goldeneye has an all-white chest, breast, and flanks, whereas the hen has a more gray body. These guys are transcontinental in distribution. Okay, as promised, the Barrow's goldeneye has a steeply sloped forehead, purplish head, and a large crest, and a white teardrop-shaped cheek patch, a white neck, breast, and belly, and a dark back. Okay, so in the picture, we've got both common and Barrow's goldeneye. A teardrop-shaped cheek patch on the Barrow's on the right, and the circular cheek patch and the common goldeneye on the left. These guys are the most territorial of all North American ducks, so don't mess with them. Okay, like I said, the Barrow's goldeneye found out west in coastal areas. Okay, the bufflehead is the smallest North American duck at only 10 inches body length and a 2-foot wingspan. It's got a very small, dark gray bill. Drake has a dark iridescent head. Hen has a more dull brown head. Drake has a large white patch extending from the back of the head all the way to the eye. The hen has a white longitudinal stripe on her cheek. Drake has a very white body, whereas the hen is more brown. These guys are transcontinental, winter in Tennessee. Okay, hooded merganser at first, the Drake looks kind of similar, but the first difference that you'll probably notice is the long pointed serrate bill. These guys are great fish catchers. That's a character of all the mergansers. They have a fan-like crest, small body, and a yellow eye. Drake has a black forehead, cheek, and crest with this white cheek patch that doesn't extend all the way to the eye, nor does it extend all the way to the back of the head. And the hen has a brown head, neck, flanks, back, and wings with a little bit paler breast and a faint reddish tinge to her crest. They're the smallest mergansers in North America. And this is the other species that winters and breeds in, or that breeds in Tennessee, so they're present here year round, along with the wood duck. Okay, the common merganser, Mergus merganser, is got a long pointed serrate bill that's thicker at the base. Brown eyes. Drakes have dark green heads without a crest. Hens have more copper-colored heads, crisp separation between the copper-colored head and the chest. Drakes have a white body with a black back. Hens have a distinct white chin patch, and that, along with size, is a great way to tell them apart from hen hooded mergansers. And these guys are the largest mergansers. Okay, you can see them every once in a while in Tennessee, but they generally don't winter this far south. Okay, and our very last duck species is the ruddy duck, Oxyura jamaicensis. This is a stiff-tailed duck. It's a small, chunky diving duck with a flat, wide bill. Got long, stiff retroces that are often held vertically. That's why they're called stiff-tailed ducks, as they can move that tail around. Drakes have a bright blue bill compared to the dull brown bill in the hen. Drakes have a more rust-colored body, more gray-brown in the hen. And drakes have a bright white cheek and under-tail coverts. The white cheek is bisected by a dusky longitudinal cheek stripe in the female. Okay, and these guys can move through the water completely waveless, so they're like the stealth duck. They do winter here in Tennessee. And let's see, do you guys quickly want to go through a practice quiz? All right. American black duck. Be careful, he'll nail you on that. Okay. Okay, do you guys know why that's a canvasback? They're flat sloping, yeah. Okay, that's a green-winged teal, American green-winged teal, you guys said. Why is it not a widgeon? Okay. Northern pintail. Bright white vertical stripe and attenuated retroces. Redhead. It's got the more sloping profile. Ring neck duck, got that white vertical finger coming up and the ring around the bill. Ready duck. What's the tribe of this duck?
Tribe?
Yes. Yeah. Axiorini. White-fronted goose. What's the subfamily? Ready? Answer your name. I don't know if he's going to ask you that stuff, but. Blue-winged teal. Okay, this one's tricky. No, actually, I'm pretty sure it's an American Wigeon Drake that is not in breeding plumage. So if you remember, this bit of white here on the wing would be more gray colored if it were a female. That's a really tricky one. Okay. Ruffle head. That is a Drake American Wigeon. Pharaoh's golden eye because it's got the teardrop cheek patch. That's a tough one. All right. You guys all fail the test if you write Canadian goose. It's Canada goose. That's right. Canada goose. Common merganser. Yep. Common golden eye.
AKA bluebill.
I think that is a greater scop because it's greener head, kind of flatter head, and it's got white all the way back. There's no gray creeping in. So greater scop. You guys know what that is? It's a gadwall. Ruel, what's that duck right there?
What's
Lesser Scop.
Shovelers, northern shovelers.
Yep, northern shovelers. So you can still tell, you can see that humongous spatulate bill on these guys, even with this horrible, blurry old photograph. Northern shovelers. Yep. Those are snow geese. The blue morph on the right and the white morph on the left. Oh, that one's got the answer on it. It's a mallard. Okay, this last one. Wood duck. The Ross's goose? I don't know why. Does it have the Ross's goose on here? I don't think they get down this far south. But it was a thing, right? They're not generally this far south, are they? Okay.
You know how to do this?
How to start it?
I think it's gonna keep it still running. Going, yeah.
All right, let's do it.
You can chop it up if you want.
All right.
Thank you.
if it's multiple guests.
Yeah, here you go. Do what?
You have the power to insert random sayings in the podcast.
That's right. Anybody got one? All right, y'all ready to go ahead and get started? I'm going to run through these rather quickly, so y'all just hold your hands up, stop me, tell me to slow down or whatever. If y'all have any questions or want to discuss any of these, just let me know. I've got all these slides on shorebird ID, except for the first couple. I'm just going to mention shorebird populations and management. There are 40 species common to North America. 31 migrate through the Tennessee River Valley, and for this class, the requirement is 17. I think that's including lesser yellowlegs, greater yellowlegs, and then the two species of dowitchers. But for this class, you won't need to distinguish between each of those two. So it's really 15 that you'll need to know for this class. A few words on shorebird populations and management. Shorebird management is very complex. This is mainly because the shorebirds are long-distance migrants. They make transcontinental migrations from the Arctic down to the tip of South America, over 12,000 kilometers. And shorebird management is fairly difficult for two reasons. One, estimating shorebird populations is difficult because we can take a snapshot of a single area at a given time, but because there's 40 different species migrating at different periods from the Arctic down in South America, it's hard to get a concrete number of shorebird populations. So all we can do is put forth good estimates at this point. The other reason is that the sheet. Okay, here's the next one. Okay. So the other reason shorebird management is difficult is that we can only do so much in the United States. Okay. So, as I mentioned, transcontinental migration. So regardless of what we do for habitat management in the United States, we can't control what goes on in South America or what goes on in the breeding region up in Canadian Arctic. So these factors that limit shorebird populations down in the wintering grounds in South America, it makes no difference how much habitat we have available here. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Okay. So how do we manage for shorebirds in the United States? We provide habitat for them at the right time at the migration corridors. Okay, so habitat for shorebirds includes shallowly flooded mudflats within the interior U.S. and the Mississippi Alluvial Valley, and with plenty of food sources because they serve as refueling areas, areas where they can rest and forage in these areas. So what are they eating in these areas? Invertebrates are their main diet. And I'll go over these numbers right here. Right now, the estimate is 500,000 shorebirds in the Mississippi Alluvial Valley migrate through the Mississippi Alluvial Valley. So remember that, 500,000. And it's estimated that shorebirds need 8 grams of invertebrates per day. That's 6 grams to maintain and 2 grams of invertebrates to build fat reserves. And that study is by Lesh et al. In 2000. Another study shows that mean stopover duration for medium-sized shorebirds is 8 to 12 days, so almost 2 weeks. And that was done here recently by Lennon and Kremitz. So these numbers you see here are what U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to set habitat or to set goals and to manage for shorebird populations in the Mississippi Alluvial Valley. Okay, this is what they use at this point. All right, so now we're moving into ID. I'm going to quickly move through these, and like I said, if I need to slow down or you have questions, let me know. First, I'll cover plovers. These are family Ceratridae. They're small, plump-bodied, short, thick bills, and they forage. I know a lot of y'all have seen killdeer forage. They run, stop, and peck, run, stop, peck, and that's how they feed along the mud flats or in fields. Let's see. First, a black-bellied plover. again, you see this short, dark, thick bill. That's the winter plumage, and now here's the breeding plumage. These are mainly coastal, but frequent in lake shores and agriculture fields. In breeding plumage, the black-bellied plover is always going to have a white rump in breeding and in basic plumage. You can see in flight, you can see the white wing stripe down the side on the black-bellied plover, other side of the wing. Yeah, you're going to need to know both because I think some of the slides on the quiz, they are both basic and breeding plumage. Go ahead and know the basic plumage, but because the breeding plumage is usually going to be a lot easier, so you need to make sure you know the basic plumage. And that way, you know, if he does show a breeding plumage slide, you'll know it. Next is the semi-palmated plover. First thing you'll think of is it looks like a killdeer, and I've given y'all the shorebird ID presentation before, but y'all remember what I told you as far as semi-palmated plover and killdeer, how to tell the difference? Exactly. Semi-palmated, this is not a very good picture, but semi-palmated plover, because it just shows him a lot smaller and thin, whereas a semi-palmated plover is going to be more plump. It's going to look, that's a good picture of it. Real plump, has a short, thick neck. And so it looks a lot more different than a killdeer in that picture shows. But orange legs, of course, a lot smaller than a killdeer. But again, y'all are right. Y'all know the single breast band distinguishes the semi-palmated from the killdeer. And here's the killdeer. Then you have the two breast bands. You have the wing stripe in flight. And then that picture doesn't do justice, but it does have a red eye ring. And of course, you're not going to see it unless you're up close. Okay, next is stilts and avocets. Of course, much taller. You have the long bill, long leg. Right next to stilts. And first, you got the long pink legs, the black cap, and a long and thin black bill. In the flight, you can see the legs extended way past the tail. American avocet. This is one of the only birds that you're going to see that much upturn in the bill. Okay, long upturned bill. And then again, breeding plumage has got rusty colored, whereas basic plumage, it's all white. Yeah. Black neck stilt. Yeah, I apologize about that. I saw that.
If you get the slides,
you'll need to edit. Okay, these slides will be posted so you can look at them through that way. But I'll try to slow down so I can get those. All right. Okay, next we're moving on to the family Scallopastidae. Mm-hmm. These are sandpipers and phalaropes. And this is going to make up the rest of them. These birds inhabit mud flats and sandy shorelines, whereas plovers can be found more in fields and other areas. These are mainly going to be mud flats or shorelines or beaches, that type thing. All right, first, greater yellowlegs. Again, I'm going to show you slides of greater and lesser yellowlegs, but you won't have to distinguish, apparently, on the test. Black and white on the yellowlegs, you have black and white flecking on the back, and bright yellowlegs, you're gonna know these when you see them. I told y'all in the previous presentation, y'all remember how to tell the difference on greater yellowlegs and lesser yellowlegs? The greater yellowlegs, bill is going to be 1.5 times the size of the head, okay? Whereas the lesser yellow legs has a bill half the, the same size of the head, okay? Let's see. There's the lesser yellow legs. Of course, the size difference you can see there. But again, half the size of the head. Solitary sandpiper. These are going to be found... hence the name solitary sandpiper. A lot of times you're going to see them just by themselves, where the other sandpipers you're going to see a lot of times in flocks. But that's enough that you can't just go by that, especially in the slides that we're going to give you. But the one distinguishing characteristic is the white eye ring around the solitary sandpiper. So be watching for it, the white eye ring that you see. This is actually not a very good picture of a solitary because it shows the short, thick neck. And a lot of times, I'm going to cover this for next, but you can tell the difference between the two because a spotted sandpiper is going to be a short, thicker neck and it's going to be more plump. This is a better picture where it shows a longer neck and a smaller head. But the solitary sandpiper has olive-colored legs, longer legs usually than the spotted sandpiper. And then you can notice the spots along the back and the wings of the solitary sandpiper, so keep that in mind. Spotted sandpiper in breeding plumage is going to be obvious. You're going to have the black spots on its breast, okay? Now, basic plumage, it's going to be a little bit tougher. It's going to have a white breast and then a brown back, okay? Whereas a solitary sandpiper will most always have the white dots, okay, on its back. So it's going to be brown back with a white breast in basic plumage. It's also going to have a more orange bill. You can see in both of these pictures, it has a thicker, oranger bill than the solitary sandpiper. It talks about distinctive fluttery flight on the spotted sandpiper, and then also the bobtail during feeding. Again, if you're in the field, these are very good characteristics to tell the difference between this and solitary and any other shorebird. These are very distinguished characteristics of a bird feeding or flying, but for this class, of course, you'll just be given slides. But keep those in mind. It has a fluttery flight like a quail or something taking off. Semi-palmated sandpiper. This is considered a peep. I don't know if anyone's gone over what a peep is, but it's generally considered semi-palmated sandpipers, western sandpipers, and least sandpipers. Okay, these are all very similar, the smallest shorebirds. But in this class, I think you just have semi-palmated and least sandpipers, okay? So these are the smallest ones that we're going to have. And I'll quickly go over how to tell the difference between the semi-palmated sandpiper and the least sandpiper. And it's very easy. The semi-palmated has black legs, the least sandpiper has yellow legs, okay? The semi-palmated sandpiper also has a thicker bill, a shorter, thicker bill. All right, we'll move on. It's also a little bit bigger than the least sandpiper, but you know, if it's by itself, you're not going to be able to tell, especially in the slides. Now the least sandpiper. What's the first thing you notice? Yellow legs, okay? In the field, of course, a lot of times they're going to be muddy, covered in mud, and you can't tell, but always watch for the yellow legs. In the breeding plumage, it's going to be more rusty colored, more brown. And then also look at the bill. It's thinner than the semi-palmated sandpiper, and it also has a slight D-curve to it. It's very slight. You can see it here, slight D-curve, whereas the semi-palmated is short, thick, and straight. Pectoral sandpiper. It looks a lot like a least sandpiper, except it's going to be a lot larger, okay? If you see them side by side, it's going to be obvious. But the pectoral sandpiper, is got a more oranger bill and it's also got a thicker, longer bill. Okay, so keep that in mind if you see a single picture. It has an oranger bill and a thicker and longer bill. It has the yellow legs, similar to a Lee sandpiper, and a lot of times it's the same color. Another distinguishing characteristic is the breastband. Okay, keep that in mind. On pectoral sandpiper, it has a distinct breastband right here where you have the mottled look on top and then white underneath. So you can always see that line right there. Dunlin. In breeding plumage, it's going to be obvious because it has the black belly up underneath, and then of course, with plumage, it doesn't. Okay, so keep that in mind. And then also, it has a longer bill than any of the other shorebirds of the smaller shorebirds. And then also, you notice the droop. Okay, has a little D curve right here. You can see it in each of these pictures. And then in flight, you can see the white stripe on the wings, kind of similar to the killdeer that I showed you earlier. It has the black legs, so keep that in mind. It says medium-sized shorebird. The Dunlin is more along the size of a pectoral, so it's bigger than the semi-palmated in the least. Okay, long-billed dowitcher. The next slide is a short-billed dowitcher, but again, for this class, you're just going to know that this is a dowitcher. It has a long, straight bill, barred upper chest, and red belly during breeding plumage. And then winter or basic plumage, they're more drab, gray all over. You can also tell the difference between the long bill and short bill by their call, so keep that in mind for future. And then there's the short bill dowitcher. It goes over bars versus spots for distinguished short bill and long bill. But also, this superciliary, keep that in mind for the dowitchers. You're going to see the superciliary and then the black stripe up on top and then underneath. Wilson snipe. Also, I'm going to go back and show you the dowitchers again, because sometimes dowitchers and snipe get a little bit tricky. If you look at the backs of the dowitchers, they have the distinct feathers. With a white band around the outside, and then the Wilson snipe has the stripes down the back. Okay, y'all see the difference? It also has looks like the stripes on the face, and then of course the long straight bill, which is going to be confusing with the dowitchers. But keep those two in mind: the stripes on the back and then the stripes on the face. olive colored legs. And then also has shorter legs than dowitcher, okay? So it's stubbier, shorter. Yeah?
On the list, we have a common snipe. We need to know that also.
The common snipe and the Wilson snipe, they changed the name. The common snipe is from Europe. So the name now is Wilson snipe, okay? So that should actually be changed on your list. In North America, it's the Wilson snipe. Yeah, sorry about that. But just know the common snipe is a species in Europe. Let's see. The snipe is also found in a little bit different habitats than dowitchers. They tolerate vegetation more, and they're going to be up in marshy areas with vegetation where they can hide. And whereas the dowitcher is going to be out in the middle of the mudflat and open mudflat more often. American woodcock, these are going to be found in different habitats as well. They're going to be more in woodlands and shrubby fields rather than mudflats. And then the best way to distinguish a woodcock is that look at the eye position of the eye. Whereas a snipe, the eye is going to be a little bit closer to the bill. With the woodcock, the eye almost looks far back on its head. Okay. It also has the stripes or the black nape crossed by pale lines right here on the top of the head. So keep that in mind. Stocky and short-legged. Again, you're not going to find them in open areas and mudflats where you'll find the dowitchers and snipe. Okay, other resources here that you can go on to. I think y'all have that handout where it shows you. Look up these birds and practice. You also have a shorebird photo quiz on this other website here you can go to. I think I passed around the shorebird books that I have, my shorebird guides, and they're sitting back there if y'all want to look at them again. Y'all can come up and borrow them anytime I'm not using them right now. So if y'all need to look through those are both good books and show different photos that you can practice with. Also, you know, y'all welcome to come by and ask me any questions that you have. So I guess now we'll go through a quiz. And somebody tell me what the first one is. And then you got to tell me why, too, because we got time for it. Yeah, pectoral sandblast. Why do you think it's a pectoral sandblast? Yeah, it has a distinct breast line right here. Again, yellow legs, orange bill. So, good job. All right, what is this? Good job. All right. Yep, Wilson snipe. Tell me why. Yep. Yeah, you can see the white stripe going across right here. Yep, black-bellied plover. You can see the white rump right here. I'll go ahead and mention there's also American golden plover, but y'all won't be covering that, but it's very similar to black belly, except it doesn't have the white rump, okay? Yep, why is that? All right, this one first. Stilt sandpiper. I'm sorry, it's not a stilt, it's a black neck stilt, yeah. All right, and the, number seven? American avocet. What plumage is that? Yeah, that's non-breeding, that's basic plumage. The breeding plumage is gonna have a rustic look to it. It's red on the head and the breast. All right, what is this? This is tricky. I say it is. What does it look like? What could it be? Just throw some names out. A what? A sandpiper. It is a sandpiper. It's a spotted sandpiper. Why do you say it's a spotted sandpiper?
Because in the winter it's got the brown
spot. Yep, that's it. And the white breast. The best way to do this, y'all, is start thinking, what could it be? You know, think about the three or four possibilities, what could it be, and then start going through those characteristics in your head and narrowing them down. All right, what is this? It's one of the first ones I went over. It's a plover, okay? Yes, semi-palmated plover. Has a short, thick bill. It's a little bit tricky, I guess, because it's non-breeding plumage. It doesn't have the black band and the black on the head, so it's a basic plumage. All right, what is that? It's not a dowitcher. All right, yellow legs. You can't tell, but it's a very, very small bird. You can't tell from the picture. It has yellow legs. It's very, very small. It has a thin bill. Slightly drooped. Mm-mm. No. Yeah, who said it? Did you say it? Oh, God. Get out of here. It's the least sandpiper, okay? I figured the very, very small give it away. It's the smallest shorebird, okay? So, least sandpiper. All right, what is that? That is a dunlin, you're right. Look at the difference. In the bill, okay? Lee sandpiper, dunlin. You can't tell, but that one's a lot bigger than Lee sandpiper, but long, drooped bill. In basic plumage, the dunlin's gonna be more gray, okay? All right, what is this?
Solitary sandpiper.
Yep, exactly. Why is it a solitary sandpiper?
It's alone.
Exactly, good job. Now let's look at the white eye ring. Around the eye, yep. Yep, why is it a killdeer? There you go. All right, that's a tougher one. It looks a lot like the Lee sandpiper. What? Mm-mm. I'll give you a hint. It's a peep. It's the only other peep we have besides a leaf sandpiper. There you go. Semi-palmated sandpiper. Why is it a semi-palmated sandpiper? Exactly. Black legs and has a short, thicker bill. Okay? What is that? Can't see the bill, but it's a long, straight bill. Yep, it's a doucher. I think that is a long bill doucher, but I think all you'll need to know is it is a doucher. Yeah, it does. Good job. All right, come on now. It's a peep. You have two peeps. It's a leased or it's a semi-palmated. Which one is it? Leased sandpiper is yellow legs, okay? That's the most obvious thing. Leased sandpiper is yellow legs. Semi-palmated sandpiper, okay? Black legs. All right, you got to get this one. It has the black belly. What is it? Not black belly plover. It's not a plover. Dunlin, there you go. Look at the bill, too. See, y'all got it. All right, what is this? There you go. Yellow legs, there you go. What is that?
Avocets.
Now, breeding plumage or basic? Yeah, breeding plumage, both of them. Okay, sorry. Got 18. Yellow legs. Black belly plover. All right, y'all got that? Yellow legs. Y'all got that? Yeah, y'all write this down, but I'm telling you, it probably won't do you much good to go back and look at these. I mean, look at the ones on the slideshow, but also you're going to need to go on those websites and look at the books as well, because I can assure you these pictures won't be on the test. So, all right, what is that? Close. It's not a snipe because why? Look at the back. The snipe's going to have the two white stripes, so what is it? Long, straight bill. Doucher, yep. It's a doucher. All right, can y'all see these? What color legs? What are they? There you go. Y'all got it now. What are these? Yep, yellow legs. Are they greater or lesser? Yeah, I think they're less. All right, what is this? Yep, you're right. Why is it a semi-palmated sandpiper? I mean, semi-palmated plover.
It has one stripe.
Again, this is basic plumage, so it doesn't have the thick black stripe and hit on the breast and hit. So this is easy. There you go. Okay. That's it. Is he on his way? All right, yeah, let's take a 5-minute break and come back and hit the plants.